Good morning. It is 7:43 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our monthly update here with State Representative Dr. Ron Bryce, who joins us in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James. Good to be here.
Or should I say Uncle Sam?
Well, at the Coffeyville celebration last Saturday, I had the honor of wearing the Uncle Sam costume and judging the kiddie parade, the cars in that, and I was glad to see KGGF there broadcasting live. It was a great event. By the way, I'll mention I hung out as Uncle Sam at the Montgomery County Republican tent and got to visit with the Democratic Party tent. There was also a Democratic Socialist of America tent that I was able to visit, and very interesting conversations with those kind of people.
All right. Well, as we continue along here, I know there's been a few topics that have floated to the top of the kind of county in our area here, and one of which is those data centers.
You know, data centers keep popping up. I think a few weeks ago, nobody talked too much about it. Several months ago, nobody seemed to really care much about it, but it's really getting some energy. There's a lot of energy on the positive side. There's a lot of energy on the negative side. And I thought it might be good if we could just go over some of that. I had the opportunity to visit with several of the large energy companies, Southwestern Power, Evergy, visit with the water people in the control the water distribution for the state of Kansas. Actually got to visit with a Google representative this week. And I got a lot of my questions answered. So I thought I would bring that up. When I was in Topeka a couple of days ago, there were some protesters outside, and they had signs. They were protesting data centers, and they had different things written on their signs. So one thing that I tend to do is I go ahead and I talk with people. So I went out there on the sidewalk, and I spent maybe 15, 20 minutes talking with them about what their concerns really are, because I didn't think I fully understood why or the reasoning behind the opposition. I think this is the kind of issue where we need to look at the positives, we need to look at the negatives, and we need to really make a reasoned decision. So I wanted to see, well, what are the negatives? And I could summarize it in just a handful of issues. One is there's a concern that there's water usage that's going to be taking away from, for instance, people who grow corn in Kansas, the farmers, the agriculture. I found the answer to that one. About 6 or 8 years ago, the data centers that were built, there's one, for instance, that was built in Iowa. I believe it's Council Bluffs, but it's a very large gigawatt, I believe is the term, power usage center. And they used an awful large amount of water. The thing is, technology has changed especially over the last year and over the last few months, to where the average large data center now will use water that's reported as similar to any industry or any industrial business. One person said it would use less water than a typical golf course. And another person had the amount as the amount of water in a swimming pool in a residence. So it's not this millions and millions of gallons of water being used and then flushed back into the system that was from a few years ago. So the water issue, the water consumption issue, I believe has been solved by technology. Another issue solved by technology is the pollution issue. Initially, there was potentially going to be some toxic materials that could have possibly leak out of the system, or the water that flows through the system to cool these data centers could leak into our water reservoirs. These are now closed loop systems, and they're using something, it's a form of glycol. There are different kinds of glycol, but the form of glycol that they're using is actually FDA approved for human consumption. It's in our food, it's in makeup, it's in animal food, pet food. And so it's not radioactive, it's not poisonous, and it's not even distributed into the environment, it's actually in a closed loop system that cools the inner core of these servers. And I don't want to use too much technical terms, but a data center is basically a big building with a whole lot of computers in it. And so that creates heat, and this cools them. If there is a leak, that glycol, if it did escape, would not be toxic. So the water usage issue, I'm satisfied technology has solved that reason to not have them. The pollution issue, I believe technology has solved. The third issue that I think people are concerned about the most, and these protesters were very, very concerned about, was increasing utility rates. Will it make residential customers around the data center have higher electric bills because the data center is sucking up all of the electricity that's generated, or a big portion of the electricity that's generated, because these data centers use a huge amount of electricity? Well, that question has also been recently answered, because there was a study recently that just came out. It looked at how data center development has affected electricity rates for customers around the data centers nationwide, and it found that actually data centers create a modest decrease in electric rates. The reason for that is, if you think about it, in your house, we use electricity for air conditioning and lights and, you know, charging our phone and what have you. In the daytime, there's a large amount of electricity use. And then we go to bed at night, turn off the lights. Maybe we don't, you know, it's cooler. We don't use the AC as much. So the overall demand for electricity goes way down at night. And if you're one of these people that trades in the energy markets, you see that the cost of electricity plummets during the nighttime hours, because there's a whole lot of supply and not a lot of demand. In the daytime, there's a whole lot of demand and not any more supply. So there's this kind of a hill and valley, peak and valley every day with residential customers. When you add a data center, it adds not more peak and valley, it adds a large amount of use that's more level. It doesn't have these valleys and peaks. And so the effect of that is, if you think about supply and demand and infrastructure, these electrical companies, the electric energy companies, can build this infrastructure for data centers increase, and it can be spread out over more and more customers and more units of electricity. That means that the cost of the infrastructure for electricity isn't borne just by the residential customers, it's spread out. And so that's the reasoning behind how, I believe the numbers were, for every 10% increase in electricity use, there's a 6% decrease in the cost. And so that concern, the electric, particularly the cost, the rate that people pay for their electricity, I think has been really solved by technology. There's still the issue of how do you get enough electricity to these places, because they are huge. It could double or triple the electric consumption for the area. The thing that I think whoever's negotiating with the data centers, the city government, the county government, the local officials, whoever's doing the negotiations, has to make sure that the data center takes responsibility for the build out of the extra infrastructure, the extra generators for the increased electricity, and that they get a commitment in writing that there's a long-term consumption of that electricity. The typical would be 17 years or more, so that the city or the county doesn't build out more electrical capacity and the data centers then leave the next year and we're stuck with the bill for all this million-dollar build-out that we did. Another thing is that I think the city and county need to look at, if they're having negotiations with data centers, is that the data centers need to be committed to a minimal billing. And what that means is, if they commit to come to Montgomery County, to say Cherryvale, say Coffeyville, that they commit in writing to a minimum amount of payment every month for electricity, so that if for some reason they stop, they're still, say they use zero electricity, they're still committed to something like 80% of their capacity. So over 17 years, long term, they have a commitment for a minimum bill every month so that this money is paid in to the city and the county and the people who build out the infrastructure. And the other thing that the protesters I met with were concerned with was the noise pollution. And so we were looking at that. There's a potential for 60 to 85 decibel noise level, which kind of is a conversational volume of noise. What these data centers are now doing is the part that makes the noise, they put in the center. They're usually hundreds of acres in land, and so they put it in the center of their acreage, and then they build the buildings around it, and it greatly mitigates the noise pollution. And so after talking with the protesters and hearing all of their concerns, I was mainly left, I was left understanding that all of these concerns can be addressed. The one concern that I still have, James, and I know we're running out of time soon, but besides the electricity and the water and the noise and the pollution, I think all those things can be approached. I still am concerned about what artificial intelligence in general will have on our children and grandchildren, on public education and education in general. How will kids who are exposed to artificial intelligence learn to think critically, learn to reason, learn to debate, learn to understand what is a trustworthy source and what is not a trustworthy source? Because I think if we are a constitutional republic, we need an electorate, we need people in general who are able to have these reasoning skills. And so in the back of my mind, I know that artificial intelligence, which these data centers support, will affect kids that are coming up and how they think. But whether we like it or not, data centers will be built. We don't want them to be built in a place like communist China, where, you know, we don't have control over content and oversee things. If they're going to be built anyway, I think if we can have millions of dollars in economic development in our city, in our county, that we need to be open to negotiating logically with these data centers to have them built in our area. I think it could be financially and economically, job-wise, a real boon to the area. These technical things like the water and electricity and noise can be managed. And I would encourage everyone to really take a hard look, not at what 6 or 8 years ago data centers look like, but look at the technology that we have now. Look at what is current. Look at what is reasonable. And I am really leaning on the positive side of data centers if the local government leaders can negotiate the contracts to where data centers are really held in writing to commitments that could benefit the whole city, the whole county.
So why are the data centers kind of looking at some of these more rural areas like Montgomery County?
That's a very good question. It has to do, there are actually professional people who are site selectors, and they actually go and on behalf of these companies, on behalf of Google and all the others, Facebook, they go and they find a site that has land available, they need water available, they need electricity available, and they need a workforce, because these data centers, each one involves hundreds of construction jobs in, you know, not just for a few weeks, but for years. And they have anywhere from 50 to 400 people per data center that maintain it afterward. And so these, they look specifically at those things, the acreage, the water, the electricity, the workforce, but also they look at the legal, the statutes in the state. Last spring, we passed a bill in the Kansas legislature, was signed into law, that will allow data centers to be treated as a utility company, and it helps them from a tax standpoint. Google and the data center people said before we passed that law last spring, they had no desire to enter Kansas. After we passed that law, There are dozens and dozens of developers that are looking in the state of Kansas. It just happens that Montgomery County has the resources and the potential workforce that's available that will be able to support some of these things.
We'll see where it goes, sir. I understand you've got a site for those folks that you're working on for issues.
Hey, I tell you what, I do have something coming up. This is just a pre-announcement, but I do have a website about legislative issues that will be about opinions from the legislators, opinions from people involved in issues. It'll be something you can go to really stay up to date, particularly on conservative viewpoints on these opinions. It's not yet, but hopefully in September it'll be available. It will be the Kansas Journal, and I will give you more information later.
All right. Well, we've got the Republican candidate forum coming up. I know you'll be there. You don't have a contestant here for the primary, but I hope folks can make it out to Memorial Hall or listen on the radio coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I suppose it'll be broadcast by KGGF. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, KGGF. Listen to the candidates for statewide office, local office, school board, state education, rather. And I think it'll be very, very valuable for people looking to cast their vote.
All right. Well, State Representative Dr. Ron Bryce, we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And on the way, we do have a more open line here. We'll have an update from Skank Insurance on the way. That's coming up.